Welcome to Dutch Universal Podcast, a universal podcast for grown-ups from the After Dark and Connect Network. There may be a few naughty words, so it may not be suitable for kids. Enjoy the show!
Hello and welcome to another episode of that Universal Podcast. I'm Nick, and on this episode, I am joined by Mr. D.
Hola. Buenos dias.
He's really catching up with the local lingo. We are also joined by P-Dubs.
Good evening. Hello. Welcome.
Indeed. And also, for the first time this year, we're joined by Craig.
Happy New Year.
I'm just glad you could be bothered this week, mate.
Do you know what, right? I've been busy. Get over it.
I'm not. Look, you're the one who said I can't be asked to join last week. That's all I was referencing. I'm sure you have been very busy.
Literally, Ryan said I can't be asked joining this year.
last year. Or the year before.
Kate's been on more episodes than Ryan.
Oh, RIP. She's still alive, don't worry. But it's been a busy kind of time for news. It all started to come out as we were trying to record Disney podcast last week. But you know, we'll talk about it tonight. It's fine. It's not a problem. You know, for those that haven't caught up or listened to UUOP, I just need to clear the air on UUOP. I make jokes about them because they don't like me. I don't dislike them. I don't care. Good for them. I wish them all the success.
How do you know they don't like you? Where's the evidence?
The evidence is that they come back into our Facebook group and left after 20 minutes.
Well, I invited Lee into our group, but maybe he didn't know what it was.
And also the fact that he talks to you and he won't talk to me. But it's cool. It's fine. You know, maybe this is the year that, you know, an olive branch is handed out. I don't know.
Just reach out. Just text them.
No, because I'm going to start off by saying Batman versus Superman was shit, but the Batman was good. And, you know, it's all going to be downhill from there.
Write him a letter. That's how they do it in the old days.
Dear Stan, so doesn't matter. And already I'm off piste. So let's get back onto piste by starting off the show as we do nearly every time. And that is with asking what everybody is drinking. Now, I don't know about you guys up north. I know about you down south, Mr. D, but I don't know about the guys up north. But where I am, it has been bloody freezing. It was slightly warmer today. I think it got to about 1 degree today. But it's been really cold. And so I'm nervous because the drink I've got is probably too cold for me to drink, but I'm going to drink it anyway. So how's it been for you? And what are you drinking, Craig?
We've had the snow. So last night I rode my bike into work in snow. And then this morning, thinking, the glitters will be out. So the glitters didn't come out. So this morning, I watched a car smash into a traffic light, skidding on sheet ice. I watched a Fiesta wheel spinning all around the show. I then watched a bus trying to go up a hill with a full of passengers, just wheel spinning, just static, couldn't get up the hill. Then a girl fell over in the middle of the road and the cars had to slam on because they all nearly hit her and they all skidded and nearly hit each other. Yeah, this is all in the space of about 2 minutes as I was pedalling on the ice-free pavements because the road was like glass.
Oh my God.
So there's been carnage in Liverpool today. Absolute carnage. And I'm drinking Cherry Pepsi Max.
How's the Queen?
She's still dead.
No, I mean your Queen, not...
My Queen. You're going to have to narrow it down. I've got lots of Queens.
The Queen of...
Brian's still dead as well.
Brian across the road?
No. the queen that sent you a birthday message.
Oh, the Queen of Scotty Road.
Yeah.
Oh, he's still knocking about. He's all right. Okay.
That's all right. That's all I care about, really.
I've got so many queens in my life.
And the one in your house, of course.
I've got several.
They're princesses. Right. P-Dubs, What are you drinking? And how's the weather been?
Weather's not been too bad. It did say it was going to snow like while we're recording, so I don't know whether it is. We've not had any yet. But yeah, it was absolutely Baltic this morning. I went and de-iced the car for my wife before she went to work, and it was freezing. It was like -3, -4 when I did that. But I've stayed indoors most of the day. Only other going to school to pick the little one up. I haven't been anywhere else today, so I've kept out of it. Drinking wise, I am also on something cherry flavoured. But I have got a Fentimans Good and Fruity Cherry and Blood Orange.
What is that?
It's meant to be a healthy drink. I didn't buy it because of that. I just like the sound of the flavour, but it says it supports digestion and your metabolism.
It sounds like something you need cream for.
God knows. But they're nice. I had a packet
cubes
of four of them.
And tankily, in it.
I knew a girl with a blood orange once, but I won't go into it.
Oh my God. Mr. D, steer us back onto course, please.
Yeah, it's been chilly here as well today. Temperature dropped from 20 degrees down to about 17, I think it was. I had to close the window a little bit.
Budgie smuggler weather.
Yeah, I don't call it the Costa del Sol for nothing. I'm drinking a peppermint tea still. I was supposed to go to the supermarket today and get myself some cervezas, beers, but that didn't happen. So tomorrow, we've got guests coming tomorrow. Por favor. So, peppermint tea for me.
This podcast is far too classy for my liking. I have got... it's not snowed here yet, but it's been very, very cold. I'm just waiting for it. It doesn't say it's going to, but I think it will do. But I've got a can of Schafferhofer.
Nice.
And out of all the drinks, that's the laziest.
Yeah. It's bitty. Why is it bitty?
Probably the most alcoholic, though.
Oh, I've got some bloody crumbs.
I don't know.
I've got some crumbs on a can.
Not by much, but...
Ugh. Crumbs? Are you sure it's not ground up glass? Maybe Lee's been round.
Could be. My wife didn't know I was going to be drinking that tonight, so maybe it was. Right. Let us go and then have a look at what's been going on. I don't think there's been much going on, but let's go and have a look to see if anything's been going on with Universal. So, who wants to go first?
I can go first if you like.
Go on.
So Universal recently announced that they're looking at a new theme park, which is going to be in Texas, and it's going to be specifically aimed at younger kids. So it's going to be a family-friendly theme park.
Check your guns in at the entrance.
I mean, obviously, kiddies will be able to keep their guns.
Or not, yeah.
Yeah, but the adults need to check their automatics in, but kids can keep the semi-automatics. It's going to be in Frisco, Texas.
Yes.
Which is near Dallas, and it's going to be about a quarter of the size of the Orlando park. So 97 acres of land. And there's not a lot of detail about it, but they're talking about rides, shows, and a hotel. So, not exactly sure when it's going to open, but it looks like it'll still be a few years away yet. I saw one article that said about 4 years, I think. But quite interesting that interesting that it's Texas, although there are other theme parks in Texas.
Six Flags.
It is obviously,
Six Flags is the big one, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's obviously good in terms of weather, so it works from that point of view all year round. But it's interesting that they're moving into the family market. A little bit more, and this is specifically a family-themed park.
Yeah, it's... So we got... you know, various news stories that came out on the same day, almost a week ago from when we are recording this episode. So it's been kind of like dripping out, and it was just like one announcement after another announcement. It was really, really strange. Oh, of course, Texas is Todd country, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, near for Todd. It's interesting because this is the first kind of attempt that Universal have made at a family theme park. And we don't really... I suppose we've got a couple over in the UK, haven't we? We've got Legoland, obviously, probably the most famous one. And Paulton's as well. Is that where Peppa Pig Land is?
I'm not sure. I haven't been to that one.
No, neither have I. Ryan has, but he's not here to correct us. So, well,
yeah, it is. It is Paulton's. Yeah. I was trying to get my head around which one's which. He's got Drayton Manor that's got Thomas Land.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Flamingo Land. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Have you gone into any details yet about what's going to be in the theme park?
Only concept art, I think.
Yeah. And the concept art is also very interesting because I'm looking at this now, actually, P-Dubs, and I'll tell you what, there's a slight hint of Disneyland Paris about it in that the hotel is right at the entrance to the park. But then as you go in, there's a lake, and a lake which has got like a lagoon as you approach it. So where a castle would be or where Main Street would be is this kind of like lagoon. But the lagoon is connected to a lake that kind of snakes all around the rest of the park.
Yeah, which is apparently going to be a ride.
Well, I can see an attraction. Yeah, I can see some boats on it, so that makes that makes sense. But other than that, it's very hard to really look into what the details of it could be. There is there's a section that's definitely got like massive flowers. So I would, if I was a betting man, I would assume that's got something to do with trolls.
Yeah, that's the rumor. I did watch a video the other day, and I've got to look at the artwork again. So the top left-hand corner is clearly Jurassic Park. You can see the visitor center.
Yep.
And the rumor is that there's going to be like a log flume attraction as part of that.
Right.
With a Tyrannosaurus, just as you go down the 100-foot drop. Yeah.
This has definitely not got a 100-foot drop looking at it.
No, it's, 10-foot it's drop. Definitely not like that. I'm just trying to remember what was said on the video about what each land possibly was. So as you say, trolls.
Yeah, trolls was another one.
You'd have to think it's going to be... I think what you're going to see here is DreamWorks IPs, because obviously they're nearly all aimed at kids. And I reckon He-Man, because I keep hearing more and more that Universal is going to start trying to do something more with He-Man. And so that would make sense, that this is where it would go. Because it's a kid's property, you know, at the end of the day. I know Kevin Smith has his show that's aimed at us, nostalgic for the original cartoon, but... you know, He-Man does keep getting rebooted for kids, right?
Yeah. The one in the top right-hand corner, I believe they said they thought it was Shrek.
Oh, okay.
And that Shrek 4D was moving there, that they would use that as part of this more kid-friendly version.
It seems odd, though, that taking Shrek out and Shrek is kind of being talked about, you know, as a kind of... has been type attraction, and they put it in a new park.
Especially one that's as old as it is. Unless it's going to, 20 years old.
Unless it's going to reboot, right?
What's the rumor talk of a new film? One. Yeah, they're talking about a fourth one at the moment.
Well, I just...
You know, mate, it wouldn't be a bad thing if there was a new film done and it was a Shrek, you know.
100%. Like, the problem I have with that is if it was just... we're putting Shrek 4D in here because it's already done, when it's already a 20-odd year attraction.
Yeah.
I actually saw the other day the new Puss in Boots film. because
I keep meaning to watch it.
Lewis was very hot on it. He saw it last year, and he said it was a load of fun. So I thought I'd give it a watch now. It's on like pay per view at home or whatever, and it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I would quite happily see some more Shrek after seeing
that. Is there any nods to the original, like Shrek type stuff in it? Is there any characters or?
Yeah. There's a few nods, but it's more. Puss in Boots was its kind of its own spin off from Shrek, so you know Shrek and Donkey don't, you know, are his sidekicks throughout the film or anything like that. But there are definitely things from previous Shrek films that you know people will recognise and relate to and stuff. But I think the idea of a family park, I mean, we're recording this now a few days out from Kidzone closing in Orlando, and the fact that, you know, the biggest complaint from guests or from Ryan is Universal's lack of child-friendly attractions. And here they go and announce a whole park that's going to be aimed at kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very interesting, I think.
Yeah.
I've just remembered what the other rumored land was. Madagascar.
Oh.
And so, if you look at the artwork, it looks like the zoo.
So Madagascar has already got a land in Singapore?
Yeah.
I think it's got a dark ride. I know that at least because I've seen a video of that. I'm sure it's got another attraction in there as well. So, because yeah, I mean, it would make sense if they were going to do that as well. You know, you can't expect everything to be brand new, but if it's going to be, you know, things taken from other parts that haven't made it to the US. I mean, I tell you what, you know, you said about Jurassic Park, P-Dubs.
Yeah.
That to me looks a little bit like the ride, the show building for the Jurassic Park ride that opened in Shanghai.
Yeah.
Was it Shanghai? Were
they
Universal? Or was it
I believe so.
Beijing.
I think it was Beijing.
Yeah.
In one of them.
Yeah.
In one of the Jurassic Park Rapids.
No, the Jurassic Park ride that's open there is like, I guess, more like Dinosaur.
I'm sure I heard on it on something else that somewhere in the far east is a Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's Singapore. Rapids.
Oh, is it?
Singapore. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, which is like Popeye's barges, but Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Which that's how you fix the problem there, isn't it, in Orlando? You just turn that whole water area into Jurassic Park. Da-da! Simple.
Yeah. And also, you know, P-Dubs, you know this because of your son. You know, Jurassic Park does have its own stuff that's aimed at kids.
Yeah.
Outside of the films. Again, so.
Yeah, and again, they've got, in Singapore, they've got pterodon flyers, but adults can go on it without kids.
I went on it without kids. It didn't always have that rule. Or we were just let on without having kids. I don't know, but that was about 2007. We definitely did it, though. But, yeah, otherwise you've got to borrow kids. It's never a problem when you go with Craig, of course. Craig's normally there with about 12 kids. Yeah.
I'll have to hit up Paige and Mr. Morrow next time we go, because he's always just hanging around there looking for kids to go on the ride with him.
That sounds a lot more sinister than I'm sure it was intended to be. but yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I can't say Texas is a state that I am dying to get to go to a family-friendly theme park, but I'm sure Universal know what they're doing. So it's interesting to see what happens. But as you said, we're not going to find out for another 3 or 4 years or so, because that's how long it's going to take to build a brand new park. Which sounds about right, because Epic Universe, that's been about 3 or 4 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it must be.
So it's getting there. Thank you, Mr. D. P Dubs?
Yeah, a universal attraction that isn't going to take 3 or 4 years to build. On the same day, an announcement was made that Universal will be heading to Las Vegas with a year-round Halloween Horror Nights attraction. I know, Nick, you've got a lot to say about this because you have previous knowledge of Halloween and haunted attractions in Vegas. But this is going to be set in 110,000 square feet in a 20-acre expansion of Area 15. So if people don't know about Area 15, you may have seen the incredibly weird Omega Mart that is built there that's like a very strange attraction that's based on a supermarket that you end up going into like the back rooms of it and trying. It's basically it's like a haunted maze without the haunted bit. You go around collecting things and stuff like that. So people may well have seen that. So it
definitely
is.
Happens.
If you not, it's really bizarre.
Which I had.
No, it's very bizarre. I've seen a couple of people visit it on vlogs, and it's very strange.
It's Dale Winton in there.
It does look a bit like that, but it's like they've got like fridges full of stuff, but there's nothing in them.
Right.
You pull the boxes out, and they're completely empty. And it is sort of got like you go into the locker room in the back, and there's like a slide you have to go down and things like this. It's very strange. So if you haven't seen it, give that a search on YouTube. Very weird. But this is going to be next door to it. As soon as I saw the artwork, I was like, I'm sure that's where that strange supermarket thing is. But yeah, so it's going to be based around Halloween Horror Nights, as I said. The artwork that they released featured Jack the Clown smack bang in the middle of it, and I believe Chance, and I think it's the director, I can't quite tell, because they're set a little bit further back, but Jack's prominent in the artwork.
So I'm just having a look now at where, because this is what I was trying to find out. I was trying to find out where Area 15 was. Because Vegas is, I mean, for those that have been, Vegas is an extremely strange place at the best of times. But at the moment, they're doing a lot of weird things. So they've got the Formula One, well, they've got a round of the Formula One Grand Prix going to Vegas this year, which I believe they're using the strip for. As the track,
wow.
Which will be something. They've also got the MSG Sphere. So, for those that haven't heard, it's Madison. The MSG is Madison Square Garden, the famous New York venue. It's been there for, you know, decades and decades. They're opening up a massive sphere in Vegas, and it looks just like a massive globe. You know, think like the Epcot Spaceship Earth or something, and it's all like LED panels on the outside, and it's going to be just a concert venue, but it's huge and it's costing something ridiculous, like about £2 billion to build. So they're building all this new kind of weird stuff, and I think that's near where Area 15 is actually. But I wondered where Area 15 was or is, and it's off the strip. But not too far off the strip. But it's, I don't know what foot traffic's going to be like, because, yeah, navigating around Vegas is very weird. Lots of main roads and stuff like that, not very walkable. Even a strip, you have to kind of like cross roads and stuff sometimes. It's, yeah, so it's kind of off kilter. Weirdly, what used to be an all-year-round scare attraction in Vegas, I believe is now BrewDog. I think I was looking at it last night, I think that's where BrewDog is now, which is very weird to think there's a BrewDog on the Vegas Strip. But just near the MGM Grand and Planet Hollywood, they had Eli Roth's Goratorium. And that was a, you know, 365 haunted maze experience, like a Halloween Horror Nights type location. It's what he was kind of influenced by, but you know, Eli Roth's a bit more gory and extreme, and it lasted about 11 months. So that's not great. The fact that this is going where a Mega Mart is, P-Dubs, does sound more interesting. Kind of makes a bit more sense then if they're going to put something like that there, because, and I shared a video in the group, I don't know if anyone watched it because it's about 15 or 20 minutes, but there used to be a theme park in Las Vegas on the Strip. The MGM Grand, when it opened, had MGM Studios theme park. Nothing to do with Disney. Had some of its own properties. And that lasted about 6 years, if memory serves me correctly. Yep. It's, you know, Vegas is not really a family destination, which is probably why they're building that one in Texas and not in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, they did try to become a family destination.
Yeah.
You know, they tried to move away from just an adult-only destination, but I think they kind of realized that wasn't really where the strength lay. So something like Halloween Horror Nights attraction actually probably fits quite well.
Yes.
In Vegas, because it's more adult orientated, and you know, they get a lot of things like hen do's, stag do's, bachelorette parties, whatever you want to call them. You know, those groups are looking for stuff to do during the day, and then obviously hit the casinos and the clubs and the bars at night. So there is a lot of peripheral stuff in Vegas now that was never there before.
100%, and it needs to. I mean, the problem with Vegas, as nice as it is that there's only so many different Cirque du Soleil shows that you can see, or so many magic shows that you can see, you know, or you know, singers. That's the other thing you get in Vegas as well. There's only so much of that you can do. And also the same with gambling. You know, you can't, I mean, people probably do, but you don't want to just gamble the entire time you're there. You want to be able to do other stuff as well. So having stuff like a Mega Mart and this is probably good.
You said how long it's going to be. Like a standard scare maze is about anything between 3 to 7 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so is this going to be like bigger than that? You know, is it going to, what's the price point? The scare room, you're in there for like an hour, aren't you? So that's about $50 you see in the other Universal Park. But this is just a maze with actors in.
And I don't think it will be. I don't think it will be. I think what it will be, and again, it's not exactly clear on the press release, but what I'd imagine it would be is probably an assortment of houses to go into within one building.
Yeah, I don't think it would just be one. That'd be too small, I think, too limited.
And I do wonder whether they might put like a mini museum thing in there as well.
Mm. Yeah, they could do a version of the horror makeup show.
Yeah,
as part of it, that would be quite good.
Yeah. I think it'd be a good experience. I mean, when we do Halloween on night, you're literally conga line through the scare zones. The houses, but you won't be conga lining through this. You'll have a time slot and you'll walk through at a leisurely pace. Yeah. And there won't be cast members there telling you to keep moving, keep moving. So I think it could work. Whether it will work remains to be seen. But
I mean, the article that I read said it's 110,000 square foot space, which is a big part of a 20-acre expansion that they're planning. So I've got no idea how many attractions you could get in 110,000 square feet, but it sounds like quite a big area. The other thing that I suppose is quite exciting is if it is permanent, you would think that in terms of set design, scares, special effects, scenery, all of that, it's going to be pretty immersive, you know. it's you know, because the normal houses only last what, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. I mean, they don't have to survive much longer than that. So you're probably pretty limited in terms of your budget and how much you can spend in each house, and you know, the effects that you can use and things like that. Whereas, you know, think of the Haunted Mansion. This is more like a Haunted Mansion type of a deal, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I remember looking at it quite a while ago now, but I'm sure like the Goratorium was like about $50 to go in and was about an hour long experience. And I can't remember all the details of what that offered you, but I think that was a cross between a Halloween Horror Nights maze and like the London Dungeon.
I would hope that's what they're aiming for, but on a greater scale.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'd be interesting, because I mean, if that works, if they do kind of follow that model of like the dungeons, because I mean, I remember, you know, when I first went to the London Dungeon, it was called that because there was the London Dungeon and there was the York Dungeon, and that was it.
Yeah.
And now there's dungeons all over the country in multiple countries as well. Last time I checked.
And they've put them in other attractions as well.
Yeah, Alton Towers has got one, hasn't it?
Alton Towers has got one. I did that last year. Warwick Castle's got one. I've done that previously.
Right. Yeah, because that's owned by Merlin, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And interestingly, they've just put the scare attraction back in Madame Two Swords as well.
Oh, Chamber of Horrors?
Yeah, that's just reopened.
Is that where the Boris Johnson statue is now?
See, my worrying remembering of that as a youngster is coming down the stairs to go in there and Hitler's statue being right at the bottom of the stairs.
Holy crap.
They ended up having to put him behind glass because people would spit on him as they walked past.
Well, I expected.
So he ended up being behind glass. Yeah.
Where can we put this Hitler statue? Tell you what.
That's incredible. Not too surprising, but incredible nonetheless. Craig, was there anything you wanted to pick up? Don't worry if not.
So, no, I've got one here. I'll go along with it. You've done the work, so I'll... So, Mario Kart has opened, hasn't it, in Hollywood?
Yes.
Along with the land. And in true Universal fashion, after Mario Kart, Bowser's Challenge has opened, guests were quick to call out the fact that the ride is not a roller coaster and it was so restrictive that lots of guests were not able to enjoy it. There's a girl on Twitter, Anna, shared a picture of herself and said that she would not have fit in the ride when she was her biggest. And as you can see from the photo, see attached, she's not that big, and she isn't. So basically a size 20 lady or a 40-inch waist cannot ride this ride. They're struggling to strap in. So it's another PR disaster. Guests whose waistlines are 40 inches or greater may not be accommodated on this ride and are strongly encouraged to try the test he provided at the entrance of the attraction to assist guests in determining their ability to ride secure all these articles before ride to see a team member for further details. So basically, there's several rides at Universal. There's the Harry Potter one where they had to put a fat seat in. There's the Mummy, where they've got a fat seat. There's Gringotts Bank, where they've got a fat seat. Where else? So they've done it again, but this is a brand new ride. Why haven't they just incorporated the larger waist? And it's an indoor attraction. I don't get it.
Not only is it an indoor attraction, but also it's a fairly simple dark ride when you look at what the ride is itself. You know, it's a little bit like, you know, the Cat in the, you know, on the Cat in the Hat, you not being able to go on the Cat in the Hat if you're under a certain height. when it's just really a simple dark ride, they make it more complicated than it needs to be. And this, to me, is very much what they've done here. I don't understand, other than them, you know, making the ride vehicles more size appropriate for Japanese guests, I don't know what they're applying that when they're taking it over to America. I don't understand. Why is it so hard to make it more accommodating? You know, I love a lot of the things that Universal do, but this is something that just completely bamboozles me. I don't understand why they would do it.
I mean, the other one I missed off there was Velocicoaster as well. That has got quite restrictive seating.
I get it more with roller coasters though, yeah. Because there's, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, that you have to take into consideration. Did they need to use the ride system they did in terms of like the restraints? No, they could have probably made it a more traditional attraction. So yeah, whatever. But again, like I just don't. This to me seems like a ride that shouldn't have had any issues like that at all. And they've created one.
I've been in the past. Sorry, go on, P-Dubs.
I was just going to say, it's really interesting that it's like this with new attractions. You'd think they would have learned from older attractions. But older attractions were much better. I went... The attraction that's mentioned in the article that's obviously out in Hollywood is Secret Life of Pets. And I went on that while we were there. And it is very, very restrictive. I struggled to fit in, like, size-wise. But even my height, I'm 6 foot, so God knows, Craig, how you cope with it. But I felt like my legs were under my chin.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
And it just, especially with family attractions, the whole family need to get on them.
Yeah.
And we saw it. We saw it as well with the Flight of the Hippogriff. That we struggled to sit 2x2 when we all went out there.
I kind of say that as a kiddie coaster, though. But
again, but yeah, adults have to get on that to go with them.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a family coaster more than a kiddie coaster, isn't it? That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And it was designed, you know, a long time ago, and it's quite an old attraction. It used to be the Unicorn, didn't it?
Yes.
The Hippogriff one. So yep. I can understand that one maybe being a bit behind the times, but not this.
No, it's very, very... It's frustrating, is what it is. It really is. And like you said, Craig, like, you know, with the girl that you know, took a picture of herself doing it. And your own experiences, right? Because didn't Stuart have issues with the mummy? Or was it Harry Potter?
Yeah, yeah. He was moved to... we had to get off and we had to get out on the next cart and we had to get in the seat that was designated. I was on the Harry Potter ride on the other one. I can't remember what it's called. Forbidden Journey. And a gentleman had to get off and he was mortified. He was literally mortified. And he had to get on the next vehicle because all the seats were taken and it was ready to go. He had to jump off and run and go and sit in the fat seat. It's horrible. I've been shoehorned into the Hulk and it ruined my entire day when I was at my biggest. And they literally had to squash me in to get it to click 3 times or whatever the criteria is on the Hulk. And it basically gave me an instant migraine. It compressed my spine. So these rides do need looking at, really, but they're not going to change it. I mean, I'm just watching the ride now, and there's absolutely no reason why this has to be. It's the most slowest thing I've ever seen. It's literally slow.
It barely moves.
Yeah.
You know, like, Cat in the Hat is, you know, does spin around quite violently for what it is.
Well, but I think a child fell out of Cat in the Hat, and so they've toned that down. I think when it was spinning, a child went flying, woohoo, like that right out. But this is,
Yeah. This is a crawl. It's all an illusion with the special effects of the illusion of speed, but wow.
Because we watched it just popped up. I was watching something on YouTube and like the next video that popped up was somebody who had filmed themselves on the attraction during soft opening, and they filmed it without the goggles on, and then they tried to film it with, you know, what you could see through the goggles. So when you're watching it without any distractions, you're just watching like the vehicles move through the attraction. It really is slow.
I mean, I'm watching it through somebody's goggles now, and this is an underwhelming experience.
And I,
this could have been so much better.
You can't think of it like that, because the thing is, you know, I saw Spider-Man and thought it was underwhelming until I did it. I meant the Disney version. You know, obviously the Universal one is a completely different beast, but the Disney versions of the Spider-Man attraction did look quite boring until you do them, and you go, actually, this is quite fun. So I know what you mean, but I don't think it's fair to make a judgment call on that based on how we can view it.
You can't help it, can you? Because the likelihood of us all going to that side of America to go on this ride is, so for now, this is the only way you can view it.
Yeah, I mean, we won't. And what will be interesting now is what happens in Orlando, because that's being built as we speak. So is this being taken into account? Have they realised they've made a massive boo-boo and they can't do anything about it in Hollywood now because the ride's done? Or, because I mean, all it will need to do is the cars need to be made slightly bigger, right? That's it. Make the track slightly bigger, make the cars slightly bigger. Everyone's got more room.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But yeah, it's very, very frustrating news that. But that's what they're doing. Mr. D, this is a news story that is kind of relevant to you at the moment. Because with the confirmed announcements that we've had this week, so we've had obviously the two new theme park / attractions from Universal. There's also been rumours that they're looking to expand into Europe again. Mm-hmm. And a first port of call is possibly buying back Port Aventura in Spain.
Yeah. Okay.
So see, it's weird, because that was my first introduction to a Universal park. I didn't go
really?
There. But I remember specifically seeing brochures in travel agents.
Right.
Yeah.
Advertising it with Woody Woodpecker.
Yes, he was the mascot for that park. I remember that. I didn't realise. So it was developed by Anheuser Busch and Grand Tibidabo. They backed out during construction. Two Sword stepped in as one of the other kind of like saviours, and then they sold their majority share to Universal in 1998. But from what I saw of what they did, they didn't really do anything Universal with it.
Mm.
Like, it didn't have any of the attractions that you would have associated with Universal at that time. So, like, no Kong, no Mummy, no none of the Marvel, well, none of the Islands of Adventure stuff, nothing from Jurassic Park or E.T.
They did do Halloween Horror Nights, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, I remember hearing something about that. Probably from Chris's book.
Yeah.
But yeah, they sold it in 2004 when they started to kind of restructure the company in general. And it just continued being a theme park. Although it's also got a Sesame Street area as well, which is normally associated with SeaWorld,
yep.
In America. So
I think if France had anything about it and Paris, I think they would move heaven and earth to try and win the contract and help build a Universal theme park close to Disneyland Paris.
okay,
and make that a super, super theme park destination.
So, do you want to hear my thoughts on that?
Go on.
I was talking to my brother the other night, who will be listening to this episode as well.
Hello, Nick's brother.
We were talking about this, because I don't think he'd heard the news. So I was talking to him about this and the fact that they were looking at European sites. And I said, I think it's very interesting timing that Universal are on the lookout to, you know, venture into Europe and build some parks over here again. And the London project, aka the London theme park, aka UK Disneyland, if you read the Scum newspaper, they have just, yeah, I said the Scum, they have just reapplied once again for planning permission. They are insisting that this theme park is going to open, but at this moment, you know, originally it was going to be Paramount Park, then Paramount pulled out of all of that, then it was going to be BBC. We're going to be one of the main contributors to it, and there's going to be like Top Gear attractions and I don't know, EastEnders, I don't, you know, whatever.
The EastEnder
roller coaster. But then that deal also fell through because of all the delays. But they've had another change of management, and they've just resubmitted plans again to have that land turn into a theme park. And it just so happens to be that Universal are in the market. So could that be something that they're now eyeballing?
I mean, a lot of Universal, that was a, was that an indoor park or a large portion of an indoor going to be?
I think it was, there was definitely going to be some stuff undercover. I think it was going to be more like we've seen with some of the Universal parks in Asia, where they have quite a big section of it that's covered whilst also having attractions outside traditionally. So you've basically, you've got somewhere, you've got things to do and you've got places to be if the weather's really bad, but you've also got like big attractions that you can still go on that you couldn't build inside somewhere.
Yeah, it's a shame they couldn't tie into the Warner Brothers Potter experience in some way, you know.
Yeah, that would be an option as well, yeah.
Mm. I mean, the thing is, I know that obviously Universal, especially Orlando, gets lots of British tourists, but, you know, if the pandemic taught these companies anything, it's that you can't just rely on that being a guarantee. And with cost of living crisis and everything like that going on in the world right now, you know, you're not going to have people going as frequently as they would have done, you know, prior. So, you know, it would eat their market share to an extent, but also, you know, Craig, let's just say this. If Universal did this, if Universal built a theme park down in Kent and it had lots of the attractions that you get at a Universal park, but, you know, it didn't have all the same things, you'd probably still go to Orlando because you get the better weather and you get the other experiences. So it's not like you'd never go again, is it?
It would give you options to not go to Orlando as frequently. It would take the pressure off. So, and I'd probably be, if it was that close, I'd be an annual pass holder. If I was getting my fix of Universal rides and you were similar, or you know, some of the big hitters were over in the UK, Velocicoaster, the Harry Potter rides, that type of stuff, why wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean?
Podcast is a That Production.
I see it like Disneyland Paris, and that people go to Disneyland Paris either as a stopgap to go into Walt Disney World or as their first experience before deciding, okay, we're going to go and do the original now.
Yeah, I mean, me and you did 4 days, I think, in November. I did 5 days in February. I'm doing 5 days again. 5 days is too long at Disneyland Paris, really. We're coming out and going to Val d'Or for an afternoon, that type of stuff. Mm. But if you were to put Universal nearby, and so, you know, some boss Universal hotels and stuff like that. And obviously one theme park, not only would it spare Disneyland Paris to invest heavily, but it would also give you like virtually a 2-week holiday if you wanted it without having to fly over to Orlando.
And the thing is, like, when Kat, and I'm thinking of these guys specifically, but when Kat and Lewis go to Disneyland Paris, the last time they went to Disneyland Paris, and then they then went on to the UK to see some friends and family. Because if you're going to come all that way from Australia, you're not going to spend, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks just doing Disneyland Paris. You're going to have to do other stuff as well. And because you can jump on the train and get to England, then it's easy to do or fly. So I think for those guests coming over from, you know, because, you know, lots of Americans come over to Disneyland Paris and, you know, they'll spend time at Disneyland Paris, they'll spend time going around Paris itself, and then they'll probably come and spend a few days in London. Well, if you can get those guys to, instead of going to Oxford Street, going to, you know, Universal Studios Kent, I think it could work.
And the thing is, they're still getting the money without people having to go to Orlando.
Yeah, exactly.
Airfares are getting ridiculous now.
Well, that's what I mean. People are rethinking that strategy. I was talking to Sinead yesterday. She's going to come and talk about Universal on a future episode. And, you know, looking at the costs of going to Orlando now to do anything, you know, it's not what it was 3, 4, 5 years ago. You know, that the
I had a message off listener Joe the other day, and he's to get his Disney tickets for next year and Universal tickets, for this year now, I think it was 3,200.
Jeez.
Just for park tickets.
Yeah.
I think he's got 4. I think it's 2 adults and 2 little ones. But I mean, it might be more. It might be a different party than that. But I'm surmising that's what it is. But and that's a figure that's basically set in stone. You know, you can get cheaper flights and you can stay in cheaper hotels. But tickets are tickets.
Hmm. Well, Sinead,
you've got it. Well, we always driving them on to expand and put new attractions in, but this is the cost of it. This is, you'd have to realise they're not free. No. Go on, Sinead.
Well, no, I'm not Sinead. Yeah. But Sinead looking at staying at Pop Century for a week in September, so post-holiday, you know, summer holidays and stuff like that, and for 2 adults it was going to be $5,000 just for the room. Oh. No, I don't think the tickets were included with that. I think it was just the room and
lights. 2 weeks?
1 week.
It seems. It's one week in September?
Yeah.
1 week?
Yeah.
No.
Flights included?
Nope. Just the hotel.
Nope.
I mean, the first thing I would say is, why stay at Pop Century? It's always dearer than All Stars.
Yeah, know. I think it was Smiling. I think it was more, you know, Skyline out and Value Resort. But I mean, the thing is, like, she just had a look to see what the pricing was going to be like.
Sure.
I'm sure it was either 5 or 3, but I'm sure it was 5. But I know that was room only. That was no tickets, no flights or anything like that. That was just the accommodation, which is nuts. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, Mr. D, for all we know, it could have been a race weekend. You know, there could have been other factors involved in why it was coming up that kind of price, but that was direct with Disney. But yeah, you know, the point I'm trying to make is, like, you know, just in general, things are becoming more expensive when we go to, you know, America. Therefore, you know, if we can get something a lot closer to home that gives us the same experience, I'm sure we will lap it up. And the thing is, because you know, what I've just said there was based on just my own thoughts, not because Universal dropped any hints at all what they might do. They might only want to go back to Spain, for all we know, But if they did buy that part back, and if they did turn that into a proper Universal experience, you bet your ass I'll be over there. Spain's not a problem definitely. To get to. Do you know what I mean?
No.
So, yeah. I'll buy that for some dollars.
Just because it's what I do. All in what is. 2 weeks Pop Century from the 7th of September to the 21st. £2,200. Two people.
That sounds more reasonable.
Yeah.
I can't remember what
if you
I
look
paid.
At All Stars, the cheapest All Stars in music and sports, £1,755.
Boom, should need. Look at him. Obviously, in Universal.
Skyliner is a big draw for people. What you got to say is it worth probably £350? No, more than that. £450. Hey, that's an individual decision, I guess.
I would personally say it was. But the only problem with the Skyliner is if you happen to go during, you know, hurricane season or anything like that, which September obviously would be, and you just happen to be there when, you know, the weather is quite bad and they have to shut the Skyliner, then your perk is kind of gone for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use the buses like the rest of the riffraff. So there is that as well. But yeah, I mean, I think if they are serious about coming back to Europe, I think that's only a good thing. I would love for more good theme park competition. I mean, and we can see already in the UK, we're trying to catch up a little bit. There's a Jumanji land opening up in Chessington, P-dubs.
Yep. Yeah. Three attractions.
Yeah.
So it's a well-themed land.
Is one a parachute drop, one a kind of pirate ship type affair?
Yeah, I think so. And then you've got a full-on wing coaster.
I'm back to Universal.
Yeah.
And where the story originated
in,
seems like a few days ago now. But are you guys aware that there's an Area 15 going to open in Orlando?
Interesting.
2024.
Where's that iDrive?
It's just off iDrive, yeah. I think it's around Vineland.
Yeah, because when I had a... I didn't know anything about Area 15 until we started recording this episode. And it seems like it's not... I don't want to say like Fun Spot, but like Fun Spot in that it seems to be an area that they've got various things for you to go and do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems to be... It's almost like a flexible art experience space. And some of the awards they've won are more around it being interactive art than being... Or immersive art than being a theme park. I mean, it's not...
Yeah.
It's not a theme park.
No. No, it's all things that you are interacting with. So like, you know, escape room type situations, VR experiences, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that potentially if Vegas works out, Universal might decide to whack one there rather than in one of their actual theme parks.
Well, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it would be odd for them to put one in Area 15 in Orlando, I would think, given that Halloween Horror Nights is so huge for them. And if they want to put a permanent house in, they had one in Hollywood, they could put one in. But they seem to have developed a bit of a partnership. So I just wonder if Area 15 comes to Orlando, whether that partnership will continue in some form. But I'd be surprised if it was a Halloween Horror Nights attraction.
I don't know. I think it's good advertising. You know, let's just say, for example, you've got a family that have gone to Orlando and have decided they don't want to hit the theme parks because the tickets to go into a theme park are so expensive. And they end up going to Area 15 and end up seeing this Halloween Horror Nights attraction and do that. And that kind of, you know, they enjoy that and think, actually, maybe we should go to Universal. It's only up the road. Let's just do it.
Could be.
We'll
have to wait and see, but we don't have that long to wait. 2024.
Oh, so around the same time as Epic Universe, eh? Allegedly. We'll see.
Yeah.
Was there any other news?
I don't think so. Oh, go on then.
No, I think P-Dub said not me.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah, those were the main three. It was the Texas, it was the Area 51 in Vegas, and it was the Nintendo in Hollywood.
What I'm angry about is no Halloween Horror Night news yet.
Aha. Let me dispel that for you. So, this is very much more on the speculation side of things. But a couple of weeks ago now, America got the release of Megan, or M3GN, as it's actually spelled. Disappointingly, I went in expecting to see some kind of slasher flick where someone was trying to kill Meghan Markle. Not because I want that to happen, by the way. I actually quite like Meghan Markle. It was just a hot-button topic at the time. But no, this is about a realistic doll that interacts with humans and starts to go a bit nuts, as these things generally do. So I went to see this film the other night and loved it. Thought it was a really... it's a very... I really enjoyed it, but... I thought it was going to be more of a horror film than it actually ended up being. It was very much, I think, in the vein of, like, Gremlins or something like that. Like, it was a lot more comical than I expected it to be, and it wasn't as gory as I thought it was going to be. But I had a great time with it. However, the actual artificial intelligence of the doll has kind of been posting bits here, there, and everywhere. And one such thing I saw on Twitter was suggesting that she might make an appearance at Halloween Horror Nights this year.
Now, I saw it. It was from a Reddit thread.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think it was from Twitter direct, so I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, it was some kind of question about did she enjoy theme parks?
Right, okay.
And it responded by saying, oh, I'm not a massive fan of that sort of thing. But I don't mind Halloween Horror Nights, with some question marks at the end of it.
So here's the thing: like, Megan is not only a Universal Pictures release; it's also a Blumhouse production.
Oh, yep. Nailed on then, isn't
so
it?
Also, it's been a massive. I mean, for what it is, it's been a massive hit. Like, it's already made about $100 million off about a $20 million budget. And people are clamouring for a sequel. And you know, review-wise, like on Rotten Tomatoes, it's in the 90s. Like, it's doing well across the board. And the fact that Chucky has already been announced as the first icon, if you will, of Halloween Horror Nights for this year, I think there's room for more than one killer doll, is what I'm saying.
They were plugging it like crazy in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Halloween Horror Nights, months before it was even out, like massive, great big billboard above one of the houses.
Hasn't there been a Puppet Master house in the past? I've never seen a Puppet Master. There's something to do with puppets, though. What is the horror film? Is it called Puppet Master?
Yeah, Puppet Master's a series of films. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe in early days, but certainly not since I've been paying attention to Halloween Horror Nights, and nothing in the last 15 years or so that I can think of.
Killer dolls could we see at the event then? Because you've got Chucky, you've got Megan. Who else?
Annabelle, was that a doll?
Annabelle. Yeah. Yes. The boy. That was another one about a ventriloquist dummy. We've had dummies at the park before, but, you know, not the boy. So you've got that. What was the other one? There was another one I was thinking of just then, and Annabelle completely threw me. There's definitely been a few things like that. You know, like, you know, possessed dolls and, you know, killer dolls and stuff isn't a new concept. I mean, I think what they've done with Megan is they've made a modern take on it based on what, you know, things
the
now.
Jack Black film's got a puppet in it, hasn't it? Osmeband from the series of books.
Oh, Jack Goosebumps. Black.
Goosebumps, yeah. I mean, I know it's a kid's
It's a ventriloquist dummy as well.
Yeah,
Slappy, his
name is.
Slappy? Slappy's been in a theme park, you know. Slappy used to be out for Halloween at MGM.
Wow.
When it used to be MGM. No way. So in the mid to late 90s, they used to have like an outdoor show where he'd talk to the audience. I've seen videos of it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's when Goosebumps was a TV show, obviously. It was way before the films, but yeah. So Disney's had its hand in Slappy before. Pun intended. But yeah, I can definitely say... Oh, Halloween 3. Hasn't that got dolls in it?
Oh, you're asking a question. I haven't seen that since the 80s.
Sinead will now be shouting at me that I've got it wrong, which is fine, but... Yeah.
The masks, the weird masks with a chip in, some sort of chip, but I can't remember if there's dolls.
That's right, yes. Yeah. I think you're right. I don't think it was dolls. But yeah. I mean, I you know, you got Chucky, you got Tiffany, you got Annabelle, you got the boy, you got Megan. Yeah, there's a few dolls there already. So yeah, I can see it. But yeah, I would be shocked if we don't get a Megan announcement as the next property at Halloween Horror Nights this year, is what I'm saying. I'll be absolutely flummoxed if they don't do it.
Oh, imagine that a super doll house. Just said it.
they can all have their own doll houses, it's fine. But yeah. I wonder if they were anticipating that, and that's why they announced Chucky so early. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure what the thinking is, but I think they've already been thinking about this for a while. But yeah, hopefully by the next time we record, or you know, in March, we'll start having Halloween Horror Nights announcements officially, and we can officially confirm it. But yeah, having seen it, and you know, it was one of those films as well. I saw on a Sunday afternoon where it was mildly packed. And everybody was just laughing and having a good time. Like it's a crowd pleasing film. Is Megan? We're gonna get spin-offs. We're gonna get sequels, and we're gonna definitely see her presence in a theme park soon, I think. Yeah. Right. If that's it for news, have we got time to do an Eat It?
Yeah, we can knock one out. I think if you want.
Let's knock one out. Let's knock one out. Would you believe it? Yes, it is Patreon time. What is Patreon time, I hear you ask? Well, Patreon is an online platform which allows you to support your favourite content creators and interact with them if you so wish. In return for your support, you get access to exclusive content that is not available anywhere else, and you also get early access to all our podcast episodes. So what are you waiting for? Why would you not want to be a Patreon? I don't know. To me, it's excellent value for money. I would say that, of course, because, you know, I'm trying to sell this to you. But honestly, we've got years of content that's exclusively available. It makes a perfect Christmas gift, or if you're listening to this after Christmas, a perfect gift for someone you know. So we'd like to use this time to not only talk about Patreon, but also shout out to those people that help support the podcast that you are listening to. So here we go. We've got Tim and Ryan, Joseph, Haley, Lee, Chris, Mel, Daniel, Paul, Sandy, Crystal, Nikki, Dan, Kevin, Dave, Tom, David, Elliot, Breaking Dad, Rob, Todd, Jane and Steve, and Stephen. Thank you to all of our patrons. It really means so much to have your support. And if you now want to join the Patreon and hear your name in a future advert, then you just need to join up to our Patreon page. Just go to patreon.com/thatpodcast and you can find us there and sign up. So what are you waiting for? So eat it. We haven't done one of these for a while, and I thought it's time that we make sure that we do one. And the first restaurant that I thought of when I thought we should do an eat it, and I don't know why, because I've never actually been here myself, was Cowfish. Cowfish. I think it's because it's just such an unusual name that it was the first one that I thought of. But who here has been to Cowfish?
Yep.
Anyone
so
else?
We went, I think it was 2015 holiday,
okay.
I think. And they put us on the balcony up top, and we were the only ones on the balcony. And we were ignored for most of the meal, considering there was like 12 of us. And it wasn't a pleasurable experience. And then the next time I was going in with Stuart at a Halloween Horror Nights one year, and as we're walking up the stairs, two old girls were walking out, and he said to us, "Do not eat in there. That is the worst experience I've ever had in my life."
Wow.
So we went and had a drink in the bar. I've always had a good drink in the bar. It's never been a problem. I know it's improved a lot listening to other rival podcasts, but there's my two experiences.
Wow. Yeah, I know that it's a favourite of UUOP. So
I took Darren for a drink in there one year. So I've had a bevy with Darren in there. Darren and Nina.
Was that Darren who gave us the cold shoulder?
Well, yeah.
Okay. I just couldn't remember if it was or not. It's fine. So, yeah, Mr. Steve, you ever been to Cowfish?
No, never eaten in there. Weird concept, but...
Might change your mind looking at the menu, I don't know. And I'm
guessing, the menu looks pretty good.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're the same, P-Dubs.
Yeah, I've never been in there. Again, I can't say I'm a fan of sushi, so I'm having to be very picky and choosy with what I'm picking.
Fair enough.
Why don't we go around the table and do starters first, appetizers first?
Okay, I'm happy to do that.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm going to have crispy Brussels, flash fried Brussels sprouts, wasabi vuzu vinaigrette, rice noodles, bonito flakes, sesame seeds with a jalapeno citrus aioli dipping sauce. That sounds absolutely divine.
It's definitely something. I'm not a massive fan of Brussels, I'll be honest. Although my wife this year for Christmas dinner made Marmite Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
Which was quite nice.
Good.
I know Nando's were doing macho sprouts at Christmas, but I didn't try those. I like the macho peas, but I've not had the macho
sprouts in the air fryer are a success.
Really?
Oh yes.
Interesting. Okay. Who wants to go next? Oh, do you want to do drinks, Craig, or do you want to do that after?
I can't find the drinks, to be honest.
It's a separate menu.
Yeah, there is a drinks. If you there's a drop down on the thing that says drinks and desserts.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes. Oh. All right, we'll come. We'll take your drinks later, sir. Go on, P-Dubs.
I am going to go with the Parmesan bacon truffle fries.
Good choice.
House fries with truffle and Parmesan cheeses, applewood smoked bacon, and chives.
That sounds nice. My Brussels sprouts for $9, by the way.
That's pretty cheap, actually.
Yeah. -4 degrees.
Clear. Recently placed. Ignore my Alexa.
Is this because I was talking about Megan? This is what's happened.
Haunted Alexa.
The Alexa horror house.
That is quite horrific, actually. Mr. D, what about you?
I'm going to go for the blackened tuna nachos, crispy wonton chips topped with crab ragoon dip, avocado salsa, tomatoes, seared blackened yellowfin tuna. $16. I'm not going cheap.
No, fair enough. You have what you want. You have what you want.
I'm not a cheap date.
It's on me. I went for the very boring but tasty edamame beans, which you can either have with steamed sea salt for $9 or steamed with sriracha, ginger or garlic-inspired sea salts for
$10.
Mm. Now, I think being charged $1 for some salt is a bit nuts, but I would pay the extra and go for the garlic, I think.
How much are the nuts?
Don't know. Maybe they're complimentary. I hope so. If they're charging $9 or $10 for a bunch of potted beans, but I do like them. So it was something I would normally have if I was going to like a Wagamama's. Couldn't think of the chain then, but yeah. So have you got a drink yet, Craig?
I have not. I've just found the menu now. I don't need long to look for me drinks, do I? You know what I mean? I'm going to go with the Moscow Mule. Bit of Russian love there. $14. Three olives, vodka, ginger beer, simple syrup, lime juice, and mint. I think that'll kick like a mule. Pun intended.
Yeehaw. P-Dubs, what about you for a drink?
I am going for buffaloes and bacon, buffalo trace bourbon, cherry liqueur, Angostura and orange bitters, honey and candied bacon.
At meat, candied bacon just seemed wrong.
It's like a meal in itself, that.
Blimey. What about you, Mr. D?
I'm going for the Samurai Desperado. Which is El Jimirador tequila, Bolt's cherry brandy, fresh lime juice, dragon fruit, and mint syrups with lime and mint.
$14. Thank you very much. Sound good. Yeah.
Cheers.
For my first drink, I went for the Tennessee Cherry Mudslide, which is Old Smoky Tennessee Mud Moonshine Cream Liqueur. Old Smoky cherry infused moonshine, rich chocolate ice cream with marshmallow cream, chocolate syrup, pretzel pieces, Angostura bitters topped with an Old Smoky moonshine infused cherry.
That is going to clean the pipe out.
Well, yeah. I figured, you know, I'm only having some, you know, essentially some soybeans for my starter, so I may as well have something to complement it quite well and throw some more calories in there. What about mains, Craig?
Well, I mean, it's cows and it's fish. So I'm going to go on to the classic Macamino menu, and I'm going to have a fish dish to start off with. So I'm going to have a rainbow roll. $18, a California roll topped with assorted fish, so it's like a mystery tour of fish, if you will, with spicy mayo and fish roe. I don't know what roe is, but it's got fish in it. So
fish eggs, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Joy upon joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had cod roe before from the chippy, and it's bizarre. It's bizarre. It's not awful, but when you're thinking about what you're eating, it's a little bit strange.
So if anyone else is having a fish, get it in now while I'm ordered.
I am.
Go on then.
I've gone for the nigiri sashimi combo. 8-piece California roll, 6 pieces of sashimi, which is tuna and salmon, and 3 pieces of nigiri. One of tuna, salmon, and yellowtail, which is also tuna, but just a different type. $30.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not kissing you.
No, I wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't. I figured if you're going to a place that's kind of like heavy on sushi, they probably know what they're doing. So why not? You know, when in Japan, fire Orlando. Do what they do. P-dubs.
So I found this a real struggle, not because there wasn't anything, but because there was too much.
Yeah,
and I'm still sitting here looking at it and found more things that I hadn't seen before. So I've actually changed my mind, and I'm going with the all-American bacon double cheese baguette.
Oh, that's just wrong. That's wrong. there's things on this menu that are just not right.
There's no fish in it. It's seasoned premium black Angus beef, yellow cheddar cheese, white cheddar cheese, and applewood smoked bacon wrapped in soy paper and potato strings, then flash fried, topped with dill pickle, red onion, Roman tomato, served over our house-made cowfish sauce, topped with ketchup and mustard.
Is the bacon in it?
Yeah.
Oh, there's definitely bacon in it.
That's your second bacon dish now, effectively.
He loves bacon.
Yep. Yeah, nothing wrong with bacon.
The Bacon King is in the building.
So what was it called?
The All-American...
Bacon Double Cheese Baguette.
Yeah.
Yes.
Christ.
Oh.
So I was going to go for one of the burgers originally, but there were so many choices in there as well that in the end I just scrolled down and I saw that and I thought, well, that's just ridiculous. So I'm picking that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like things wrapped in soy paper anyway. And who doesn't like potato strings? But I mean, that's a lot. Lot going in, that thing. Lots going in.
Yeah.
What about you, Mr. D?
So I had a fishy starter, so I'm going to go for a meaty main course. And that gives you the fusion that cowfish is after. But yeah. I've got a dishonourable mention for the other thing that's just wrong on this menu, or one of them, because there's quite a few. But the cowfish has officially left the building. $23. It's a full pound beef burger, creamy peanut butter, fried bananas, applewood smoked bacon, and a brioche bun. No.
Jesus.
That's going to hurt. No. The way
come
of
on.
That.
I mean, that's an Elvis special, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, what happened to him?
R.I.P. Lisa.
Yeah, R.I.P. Lisa, yeah. Okay, so the one I am going to have then is, and I've lost it for a minute, it's the black truffle cheeseburger. So it's a beef burger, black truffle cheese, roasted shallots, sauteed mushrooms, roasted garlic aioli, and lettuce in a brioche bun. And I think it comes with seasoned fries as well.
Yeah, I mean... You can't really go wrong with that, can you?
Nah, not at all.
That, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have it, but yeah, I can see the appeal with that, definitely.
Yeah.
I want to give an honourable mention to the one underneath that, the Black and Brie burger, because that's just outrageous as well. Yeah. Beef burger, brie cheese, fresh blackberries, thyme-infused honey, sake marinated Asian pear and microgreens on a brioche bun.
What in the blue hell is that? Jesus Christ.
It's a food car crash, really, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Kids, I mean, I'm really sorry, but we've only got a few things left in the fridge. I'm going to have to use all of it to make dinner, and that's what you get. I mean, why you'd have Asian pear in your fridge, I don't know, but still. That's horrendous. Holy shit. Okay. We need some more drinks. So, Craig, what are you having?
I'm going on a draft beer. So, I'm having Dogfish Head 60-minute IPA, $10.50.
Okay.
Has it got a real dogfish head in it?
I hope so. It's the most expensive lager beer, $10.50.
It's.
I mean, I want water, a bit of head.
The water is comes from a dog's drinking bowl. That's how they make the beer. You know what? If that was true, that would still be less offensive than some of those food items we just mentioned. P-Dubs, what are you drinking?
I am going for a nice and rosé. Four Roses Bourbon, Blackberry Brandy, Cointreau, Lemon Juice and Simple Syrup.
Wow.
We're carrying him out of here, aren't we?
I think we are, yeah. What about you, Mr. D?
I'm going for an ice cold Alka-Seltzer, I think. I've got indigestion after all that shit. I'm going to have a beer as well. I think I'm just going to have a Coors Light. Thanks very much.
Okay. Nice and light for you.
Yeah.
I was actually going the other way of everyone else. I was going to have an orange spice hot tea.
Oh.
I thought I wanted something quite tame to go with that like massive main course that I was going to have. So I'll make up for it afterwards. Don't worry about that. So, yes, we should have a look at the dessert menu. After eating all of that food and absolutely bursting. So, did anyone want dessert? There's not a huge choice.
I haven't had any beef yet. So, I'm going to have, while you are picking your dessert, I'm going to have a quick rise and swine burger, $21. Beef burger, cheddar cheese, grilled Black Forest ham, sunny side egg, applewood smoked bacon, some of Peter Dab's bacon, grilled onions, cowfish sauce on an onion roll. Thank you.
I think Craig's dessert's going to be calling an ambulance.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Shit and blood.
Peter Dab's, was you having anything for dessert?
I was going to go with the pumpkin bread pudding. Pumpkin and five spice bread pudding. Torch marshmallow, roasted walnuts, and creamy pumpkin anglaise.
Anglaise. Is that custard?
Yeah, kind of. It's like a cream.
Yeah. Like a thin custard.
Yeah. I thought it was. What about you, Mr. Day?
I'm going to go for one of the shakes. I'm going to go for a marshmallow crisp, Rice Krispies, and mallow cream with vanilla ice cream topped with a Rice Krispie treat.
I feel my arteries clogging up as you said that.
Oh, don't worry about that. Arteries are optional.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. D's gone for a milkshake. Craig's gone for another burger. I went with one of the other options on the dessert menu. I went for the Nutella mousse. Layers of Nutella mousse. Caramel, cookie pieces, whipped cream, and candied hazelnuts. Because if there's one thing you want when you're having Nutella, it's candied hazelnuts. Just in case you didn't get enough.
There's no bacon on it.
I'm sure you can add it for another couple of dollars.
Aside a dollar, yeah. I'm going to have the Lucky Yuzu Cheesecake, $7. Silky Vanilla Cheesecake, Yuzu Blackberry, blueberry, even kumquat, and a fortune cookie crust. Take my money.
The fortune cookie crust was interesting.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I don't think I've ever had a fortune cookie. I've seen them in films all the time. But
yeah, I'm at Nine Dragons.
I went past somewhere in Montreal where they made them. They made fortune cookies.
The Montreal Fortune Cookie Factory.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's
been
the
there.
One. You've been there. Good tour. Okay, so four my drink for dessert, I went for the grasshopper, which was a... And it's not that it's blowing smoke up its own arse, but by its own description, a minty chocolate masterpiece featuring vanilla ice cream with mint and shaved chocolate.
Yeah. Down with that.
So good. What about you, P-Dubs?
For me, I'm going to go with one of the spike shakes. Chocolate to die for. Amaretto liqueur, Godiva liqueur, vanilla ice cream, malt and shaved chocolate.
You guys are cheating, Craig. You said like five courses and no P-Dubs. You're on the same bandwagon.
That's on the drinks menu.
Yeah, I know, but I'm actually quite disappointed because what you missed there was a cocktail called Buffaloes and Bacon, right? It's Buffalo Trace Bourbon.
I had that first. Liqueur.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you know, max out the bacon, baby. Again. Well, why not? Never have too much bacon.
Comes with a bacon straw.
It's just not a thing.
In a bacon cup. Bacon. I can't drink amaretto since I drank 15 cans of Stella in Stuart's house one afternoon with a side of amaretto. And when I was vomiting, all I could taste was the amaretto.
Yeah, it was the amaretto's for you. What had nothing to do with the 15 cans of Stella you'd knocked back before.
No.
Yeah.
I can't drink Aftershock anymore after I drank a whole bottle of it.
Well, I can't drink Aftershock anymore because I'm not 12. Fuck
yeah. It was a Sunday morning before church, but...
Jesus.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah, I mean, look, it sounds like a really interesting place. I don't know... I obviously pick things I would eat if I was there. Would it be, based on the menu, one of the places that I would demand to go to next time I go to Orlando? I'm not entirely convinced. But I would love to hear from our listeners their experiences of Cowfish. Because I know people have listened to this and have gone to Cowfish. Lee Malaby has gone to Cowfish. Okay, he's not listened to this podcast, he's not a fan of it. But if he wants to... put his two pence in about his experiences at Cowfish, I would like to hear them. I want to hear from anybody that's been to Cowfish, good or bad. Is this a good place to go? Is the food good?
It's pretty good reviews on TripAdvisor.
Yeah, I think
it's 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I think it's improved a lot. I think, like, I'm back in. I'm just quickly going to jump into the kids' menu because we've got fussy kids. I've got a fussy wife, so she'll probably eat off the kids' menu looking at it. But it's got Ninja Nuggets, $9, tender all natural chicken chunks, flash fried, served with ranch, honey, mustard, and barbecue sauce, Cowfish mini burgers. So the kids are catered for, mac and cheese. Kerry wouldn't have anything off this menu. She might have a bit burger, the plainest of the plain burgers. Or the chicken burger. She's a fussy eater.
What does she eat normally?
When we go out to a restaurant, she'll ask for toast. Fish. Yeah, toast. And has it got any bones in it? Or she'll have chicken breast. Or a chicken burger. Or a burger. And it's got to be well done. Everything's got to be cremated. Whereas I would push the boat out and try some new stuff. I'd like to go back here and give it a whirl.
Yeah, I can't say, you know, we've been away a few times together now, Craig, and I can't say that you're a fussy eater. I'm a fussy eater, but more because of what I can eat, not because I don't like the look of that. It's normally because of lack of options for me, you know, that don't contain meat. But yeah. I mean, I cheated there. Like, I went for like a fish option rather than like the veggie burger. But you know, there are vegan options there. There are some vegetarian options there. They're not anywhere near as exciting as the stuff that they've got on the main menu. But you know, there are options as well. So yeah. And if you want to suggest,
I'm looking at the wine menu here, $45. It's a $120 bottle of red there, silver oak.
$64.90. Yes.
$64.90.
Yeah. it's a local restaurant for local people. Yeah, I think I'll try and give it a go in the summer.
Well, you can let us know what it is. But still, in the meantime, if you've been, get in touch. That podcast at gmail.com, I think it's the email address. It's in the show notes anyway. Just use that. Or hit us up on Twitter. Are we still on Twitter? Yeah, we've got Twitter. Just about. Or the Facebook group. We're in a Facebook group. Normally there's some conversations going on in there. Craig's been quite good recently trying to get some conversations started in there. Or Patreon's messages, private messages. It's I only check it once a week, but yeah, I have conversations there.
If I get the login for Patreon, mate, I'm gonna go all in on the Patreon. I'm gonna use it as my OnlyFans page.
God. Speaking of which, we're gonna hold the draw at the end of this month for those goodies that we've got. I think I put a video out somewhere of it, didn't I? Facebook, I think. It was really weird. Like, you can upload videos to Patreon, but only if you do it using their preferred website, which I think was like Vimeo or something. And I was like, I don't have a Vimeo account, so that's not going to happen. So, apologies, Patreons, if you haven't seen it in the Facebook group, but it is there. And I think that about does it for this episode. So, thank you all for coming on. Thank you, dear listener, for downloading this episode. Tell your friends. Make that your New Year's resolution. Expand the reach of this show by telling a friend or two. And we will see you in a few weeks with another episode.
This podcast is a That production and part of the After Dark Podcast Network.